Welcome back to the latest Mountain West Connection basketball show. That's right, hoops. We're talking hoops. We might be here consistently, we're hoping. You don't have an echo there, do you, Eli?
No, I don't believe so.
Okay, I thought I heard something there. That's Eli joining us, the mastermind behind the basketball stuff here. I openly admit that, so say hello.
That's some high praise.
That's some high praise. So here's what we're going to talk about, Eli Betker and myself, Jeremy Moss. Basketball, I know we haven't been around a couple weeks, but we will do a little non-con review, a tiny bit, but also, hey, we had conference games last night. So before we get to games, let's do this. You put up a little of your own sort of a projection of some sort with conference win totals. How did that, like, what did you discover going through? You used what, KenPom rating, is that correct?
Yeah, so I took KenPom's offensive and defensive efficiency rating, so just how many points are scored and allowed per 100 possessions. It's what KenPom uses for his ranking system, and they're adjusted based on your strength. So just put that into a little formula that some of the bigger names like to use, like KenPom likes to use those sort of things, and generate a little bit of a win projection probability. And San Diego State and Nevada are at the top, to no surprise, and it comes out as expected.
So you had Aztecs, like I said, who was at the bottom? Was it UNLV? Can we just start saying Rebels are bad this year?
UNLV, Air Force, and San Jose State are at the bottom. So no surprises there.
Yeah, Rebels, man, they lost to the Rams pretty bad last night. They're going to be a team where I know people are excited. They're like, oh, they played this tough schedule. Duke, Kansas. I'm like, did they play Oregon this year? Is that correct?
Yeah, I forget. They did.
Yeah, who just upset number two last night, UCLA. Pretty crazy. The way Oregon season has been going, man.
Whew. Oh, yeah, up and down.
But it's Rebel fans, relax. It's not going to be this year. It'll come around. I don't care who you play. They keep making fun of Nevada for playing nobody. Hey, Nevada wins those games. I don't care. Mm-hmm. They were 11-2, or are they 12-2 now? They lost to Iona and a pretty good St. Mary's team.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, we know that UNLV isn't going to make much noise this year, but like, these things don't happen overnight. This team, this roster is completely gutted. They bring in a new head coach. And I don't have any doubts that Menzies will turn UNLV into a winner eventually. It's not going to happen right now, but he should be able to get this team to the tournament consistently in the next few years.
So with the way the non-conference played out, and from your win projection totals, you have those teams at the top. Nevada and San Diego State are very likely the only two teams that have a chance of an at-large bid. Would that be a correct assessment?
Yeah, I'd say so. And I honestly don't know if San Diego State really has that much of a shot. And they have some bad losses to Loyola and Grand Canyon and Arizona State. But it's difficult because they still need to tear off maybe 15, 16 non-conference wins to even gain consideration, because outside of California, they don't have a top 150 KenPom victory. I guess they have one against Tulsa. But Nevada's in pretty good shape.
Yeah, looking right now, actually, after last night's results, Boise State has a better RPI than Aztecs. Aztecs sitting at 95.
Yeesh. Yeah, that's not going to get it done.
So you got Boise, I think they have to go probably almost undefeated. Even Wyoming has 82 RPI. Or no, 62, excuse me. Unless they sweep the league and maybe have one loss, I don't see a chance of getting that. I thought it'd be a bit closer than that, but it's a one-bid. Can we just say one-bid league now? Apologies to everyone.
I think it's, if Nevada can win the regular season tournament, this is kind of what I've been thinking the last few days. If Nevada can win the regular season title and they win maybe 15, 16 games in the conference play, and they don't win the conference tournament, I think there's a possibility of two bids. Because I think Nevada has a decent enough non-conference slate. I mean, they played decent teams. They didn't lose to anyone that they shouldn't have lost to. So, I mean, they have a decent schedule, and they should be able to win maybe north of 25 games.
I'm pulling this up right now, because I remember last year there's thought about Aztecs getting in from last year's schedule, because when they obviously lost to Fresno. What I'm pulling up right now, I'm seeing how many wins they had last year, because that could be a good indicator of what we'll get in this year, because the league is almost, I'd say it's close enough to compare last year to this year with when you look at RPI and stuff. Aztecs went, see, they were, yeah, that's NIT stuff. They were regular season 23-8, 16-2 in league play. If that doesn't get you in, what else could they have, besides winning the tournament, like, what else could they have done? You know what I mean, last year?
Yeah, the losses are bad though.
From last year, yeah, I get it. Mm-hmm. I know, but after league play, it's like the losses last year. You got Little Rock, Utah last season. I'm saying San Diego was a big one, but again, Grant home losses. Grand Canyon, Kansas neutral. Kansas at home, but. What is Aztec's record right now? Do you have that in front of you this year?
Let's see. They are 8-4.
Okay. Oh, last year they're 7-6, so it's nearly identical. So it's like, mm-hmm. I was trying to find something here. I was looking for something to help people out.
I think it's interesting to compare Nevada's schedule this year to San Diego State's last year because, sure, San Diego State didn't get in, but they were one of the teams, 5-6 teams that were considered on Selection Sunday. And although San Diego State played a more difficult schedule last year, I would have to say that Nevada probably has a better resume to this point.
I think so because, yeah, they played a ranked Utah and California. They split those last year. I think what hurt Aztecs last year, they played two non-D1 teams. That doesn't help. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But as for this year, so it's probably Nevada or bust. Wyoming's looking much better than we thought because almost upset USC, which is a pretty exciting overtime game. So is it outside those two teams, like, your order, I'm guessing, Nevada, you said Nevada, San Diego State. Then what would you put, Wyoming, Fresno, CSU in that range, kind of?
Yeah, I would say Wyoming's probably the third team right now, which is surprising considering what we thought of them heading into the season. To me, they've already won more games than I was expecting them to win this year. So,
they were not looking good.
Yeah, maybe 10 or 11 wins. They're already at 11-3 right now. So I'd probably go Wyoming 3, then maybe Colorado State or Fresno State 4, and Boise State not doing too bad. And New Mexico has the talent, but, I mean, they're inconsistent. But they came up with the win last night over Fresno. So those are 5 or 6 teams that'll be pretty talented and should make a decent run.
All right, let's talk about the games last night for a few minutes here. We'll preview the week. So we'll start with that Fresno-New Mexico game. Elijah Brown, we chatted before, did not start, but was the leading scorer for the Lobos. He went to the free throw line. If he could shoot decently, he would be probably the best player on the West Coast. Almost. He went 2 for 10, 14 of 14 from the line.
Crazy stat line. Crazy.
Okay, maybe this is a really dumb question for basketball, but I'm going to ask anyways because I'm blanking. I don't want to look it up. So if you're fouled and miss a shot, that does not count against you, correct?
As far as if you get fouled while you're shooting a 2 or 3?
And you miss it, that doesn't count, correct?
That's not an attempt.
Okay, that's what I thought. I just double-checked. I know that may sound dumb, but I'm just thinking because you went to the line 14 times. Mm-hmm. I know if you make it, obviously it's going to count. But that's why I figured. I just wanted to make sure on that because the stat line is nuts. So I just wanted to make it. So, they win the game. Like, first note, I think they're a little bit better. They are such a balanced team. They had 5 players in double figures. Nobody off the bench. So that's a problem. 5 points. It's the freaking free throws is what happened, man. Fresno can't get to the line. They only shoot 7 to 12. Like you said, Bryant had more than that on his own.
And New Mexico, that's what they do best. They lead the country in free throws attempt divided by field goal attempt. That's kind of the rate of how often they get to the line. And that's mostly due to Tim Williams and Elijah Brown, who get to the line as much as anyone in the country.
Here's the weird thing about Lobos. Like, you know they're good. Like, they lose to a Charleston Southern earlier this year in that tournament out east, who's a decent, okay team, I think. But this team, like, Sam Longwood had 1 point last night. Played 28 minutes. He's a guy that some people are comparing him to, like, Cameron Barstow from a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
He got 6 rebounds, a steal, but 1 point. If they could have... They just need a third guy. Like, yeah, they had 4 guys in double figures, but Logwood, he needs to be their third best player in this team.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, just think of the decent players that would be perfect fits on this New Mexico team. Like, let's say Chandler Hutchinson was on this New Mexico team. This would arguably be the best team in the conference just because of the diverse way that he plays and would be able to add a double-double almost on a nightly basis.
So, yeah, like I said, they need the third player. So if New Mexico gets that, good for them. But honestly, they could probably lose to San Jose State maybe the way they play this year sometimes.
Yeah, and they could also knock off a team like Nevada or San Diego State. So you really don't know what to expect out of this team.
All right, let's go to another game really quick. we're not going to go through every game super detail like football, but Wyoming got a good win over Air Force, 84-72. So have you seen a couple? I assume you've seen at least a few Wyoming games, probably the USC game and maybe another.
Yeah, I saw them play against Cal, and I did see the whole USC game.
It sounds like an ass. Like, what do you make from them? Because they had five guys in double figures. They bounced it around through the scoring. They rebound extremely well. Apparently, so does Air Force, which is kind of shocking. But, like, what are your thoughts? Like, why are they so good with Andy Edwards as their head coach now?
Like you said, I really like their balance on their team. They have Hayden Dalton, who comes off the bench, and I think he had 18-18 against USC. He's shooting the ball really well. But he and Justin James, that's another name that has, if you look at his splits from last year to this year, I think Dalton and James have both doubled their points per game, their rebounds per game, pretty sure assists per game, shooting the ball much better. So there's just so much an improvement on this team, and it's surprising given the fact that Jason McManaman, who I believe I had in my top five and my top 25 countdown, he really hasn't shot the ball well at all. I believe he's shooting under 40% for the season, and he shot over 40% from deep last year. So you can imagine how good this team will be once he gets his shot figured out.
So, well, I mean, they could be a little spoiler, but as I look at this box score, Air Force plays, do they play the whole academy?
Yeah, isn't that crazy? They usually have 13 or 14 guys check in every night.
They had, was it 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 15 players. Yes, three played 3 minutes or less, but they had 10 players. 11 players played more than 10 minutes.
Jeez. And no one played more than 25, it looks like.
Yeah, one guy had 23 minutes and 11 points. You think with that, man, why don't they, if they're going to rotate, why not just do a full press every time and rotate and get everybody tired?
Yeah, no kidding.
Let's do that. They shot terribly, 30-something percent. Wyoming crushes three-point range, 14-35 last night. But, man, I don't think – how does Air Force score 72 points? Aren't they still the – they normally want to just kind of dribble it up and hope wish there was no shot clock.
Yeah, they've been up and down scoring-wise. They started off really hot. It looks like their first five games – and I know the teams they're playing aren't very good. Two of them are non-D1 teams, but – they can fill up from deep, and they're sixth in three-point percentage right now, but they've been pretty inconsistent. You could see that in the last however many games, seven games or so. They've only won two of their last, looks like, nine games.
All right, so let's move to the next game. Did you hear or see what our good Australian buddy Nick Duncan did last night?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Were they chanting the Dunkin' Donuts, I'm assuming, the whole night or something?
Yeah, they did the Dunkin' Donuts thing again, and there was one other one. It wasn't explicit or anything. I can't remember what it is right now, but those Utah State fans, and I'm sure you're aware of it being in Utah, but I think they can get pretty rowdy, and they let Duncan hear it. They let him hear it last year, and I guess it just boiled over last night.
Yeah, no kidding. He 18 points. He gave him a little one finger salute after the game. Flipped the team off or the bench off. But it's 18 points. And then they were kind of lucky at the end, man. They missed those two free throws with, 2 seconds left to almost give it to. Because that could have been make one or two. Good to go. But he got the rebound to secure the victory. Aggies, I think they're kind of like they're New Mexico a little bit because Jalen Moore's really good. But they don't have a ton of anything else that'll be amazing because he had a career-high 24 points, had that late rally to 11-3 run to get that three-point lead late in the game. But they need, like, I know Tim Duryea, it's not, Stu Morrill, their head coach, not there anymore, but they have talent there, but it's, Boise's good. That's part of it, too. Boise's good. They play a tight team. Only 8 play guys played last night. Hutchinson actually led the team with 21-6 rebounds. And winning at the Spectrum is—I know it's not what it was—but I guess when you're playing Big West and former WAC schools, moving up, it's still a very difficult place to play. But getting a win on the road in this conference, like the past couple of years, we've mentioned off and on, if you get a road win, it's nearly impossible to get a road win in this league.
And Boise State had really struggled going to Utah State until last year. I believe they had lost maybe 11 straight games at the Spectrum, and now they have a 2-game winning streak. So they're figuring out how to win in Logan recently.
So we'll see what goes on with that game. Let's move on to the next one. Boise's at 8-4 there. So a couple of games from last night. those games. We don't need to touch on Nevada, San Jose State. I know the Spartans are playing much better, but they're playing better teams now in the conference. They have 7 wins, which is, didn't you say they had no D1 wins last year? They're like 2-28 or something.
2 years ago, they had no D1 wins, and then last year, I think they only had 5 or 6.
Okay. They're playing pretty well. They're better than anybody expected, so they're finally going to move up a little bit. But, man, Nevada just smoked them as expected. They, who was it, Brandon Clark, or not San Jose, sorry, Marcus Marshall, 25 points. Big 25-point win. Nothing to say. You got to get those wins. Let's move on to UNLV Rams. Colorado State, you play good at times. But you lose to freaking Kansas State when you had we were contending the whole game. You beat didn't they beat Colorado also? Didn't the Rams beat?
Yep, they beat them on the road.
Come on, Rams! You crushed UNLV 91-77 at home. Oh, I didn't get to watch to check out the lovely sideline view, but that's okay. I forgot. It was a later tip for me, and I was watching some bowl games. But Rams, I think they're cloning New Mexico. Is that an accurate assessment? Maybe.
Yeah, they're inconsistent as well. I think that with Gian Clavel coming back, and I think this is his 5th game back, he was their leading scorer last year. Only played 10 or 11 games before he had a season-ending injury. He's back now, so I think that could really boost up the CSU backcourt. And I don't think it's time to rule out CSU yet. They have a fairly experienced team with Clavel and Amagbo, who's another really solid player. So they can put up points. They did last year.
Yeah, 91 last night, too. And Clavel had 37 minutes. Jeez.
Oh, yeah. They play him a lot.
They played the starters. 4 of the 5 had 27 minutes or more. And UNLV, like I said, it's going to happen. You got to shoot better. Can't shoot 30%. They were in this game at the half, but second half is where they just kind of couldn't shoot the ball.
And that was kind of the case against Duke and Oregon and Kansas, and we mentioned that, how the difficult schedule, what's it going to do for UNLV? I think it'll help them a little bit playing against some of these tough teams, but like you said, it's not going to happen overnight.
Not enough. Like, beating CSU is probably top third, but that would be a much easier opponent than, like you said, Duke, Oregon, and everybody else they played non-conference really got smoked. All right, so let's get a couple games over the weekend. We'll kind of, this is what our kind of format will be, kind of look over some games briefly, some more than others. Sorry, Nevada, San Jose, but come on, really. Musselman is hopefully he sticks around for a while because he doing pretty good things, and hopefully Cameron Oliver doesn't go to the NBA again this year. Or he attempted last year, but not this year. Let's see. Saturday, couple games at Aztecs don't open until Sunday. Here's a quick slate for the weekend, just so you know. Utah State at Air Force, Wyoming at UNLV. CSU at Boise, Nevada at Fresno State. I'm assuming the one game you'd want to watch is CSU-Boise?
I like CSU-Boise. I also think Nevada and Fresno State could be fairly interesting.
Wyoming-UNLV, I want to see what Wyoming can do on the road again. Just because UNLV, we discussed, they're not great in Wyoming. While they are 11-3, they've only played 3 true road games and lost 2 of them.
Yeah, I think that might be the... Not necessarily the Achilles heel for Wyoming, but we know how well they can play at home. And they played well in their neutral site game against USC, but this might be one of those teams that they can beat just about anyone at home, but struggle on the road. So maybe they can change that with the win at UNLV.
Yeah, we'll see. That propel them because it's all, honestly, we'll probably say this a million times. Every win is going towards seeding. That's all that really matters, I'm assuming, for the teleconference tournament.
True,
even though it's game 2 of the season this weekend, that is all that's what they're playing for.
That's just the reality of it, yep.
Unfortunately, it's like, I don't know what they have to do. Like, what? I know you wrote about it over Christmas, and then from the Review Journal had a more detailed thing about it. The league's trying to impose penalties, but when they want you to have a guaranteed game, so... bring in an opponent to your home place, not necessarily a great opponent, but say top 150. Like, let's just say, let's just use Grand Canyon, for example. They're a top 150 team. They want Wyoming to bring in Grand Canyon to pay them $80,000, increase the buyout. But if you don't do that, the penalty is $10,000. How the math, there's bad math there. You know what I mean?
It's yeah, like, exactly.
I'd rather pay the penalty and play a home game against Colorado College or something. If, like, I know they want to play these teams, but. The guaranteed games are typically against bad teams. I'd rather do a home-and-home with Wyoming, Colorado, or Wyoming, Illinois. You know what I mean? Not Illinois, but somebody in the Big Ten.
Mm-hmm.
Or even Missouri Valley team and not do the challenge.
Yeah, and if you get a fringe team like Grand Canyon, and they've been doing pretty well these last 2 years, but you said you could take the $10,000 penalty, or you could play them, and if you lose at home to them, that could be the difference between making the NCAA tournament or not, and that obviously costs you some money right there.
I get the point of doing it, and I know Wyoming's one of the more tougher teams to try to figure this out because nobody wants to go to altitude and play at Auditorium Arena, something like the AA or whatever they want to call it, and power goes out like it did a couple weeks ago. It's tough. Like, I get neutral, but you can't force them to do this. Make a better challenge. Like I said, do the Pac-12 challenge. That should be done. That should be something that should easily be done and worthwhile for most teams. Even if they did, like, I get the Pac-12 thinks are superior, which this year in basketball, in the past couple they have, but not every year. I would be fine doing, like, a 2-for-1 some sort. Like, say, not necessarily the same team, but over a 3-year period, a Pac-12 school gets 2 home games, and Mountain West gets 1 home game. I'd be fine with that. That's okay. It's not ideal, but to get better games on the schedule, I think it's worth it.
Yeah, I don't think any Pac-12 team, if they're hosting, would say no to a team like San Diego State or UNLV once they get better, or Boise State and Nevada, because those are solid programs. And then you have teams in the Pac-12 like Washington State and Oregon State that could play Air Force or UNLV or whoever it might be. Yeah, so it could work.
Yeah, or make it a cheap game, Cal, San Jose State or something. You know what I mean? Stanford, SJSU. But that should happen. They basically play the Pac-12 anyways. Every team plays at least one. Make it official. Get a sponsor on it. Each team gets an extra $10,000 or something.
And a TV deal, hopefully.
And you can pay off that penalty for not scheduling the team.
Yeah, exactly.
There you go. All right, so we're moving along here. One more game. Let's get to the big game this week. Sunday, New Year's Day. If you're it's an NFL day, so not a college football game. That's Saturday night. So if you're watching the playoff, that's fine. But tune into your team if they're on at the moment, because ESPN3, Mountain West Network, Root Sports, check that stuff. But Sunday, New Year's Day, 3 p.m., not early enough, or 3 p.m. Mountain Time, 2 p.m. local. It's still later enough in the day, so we stayed out late, New Year's Eve, like you do. You are well-rested for a 2 p.m. local tip-off. New Mexico versus San Diego State. How come Aztec fans are going to hate me, because apparently I hate them. Where's the offense? Do they have any offense on this team? Besides Jeremy Hensley, can they make a consistent offensive effort?
I'm surprised, because I believe their shooting threes a lot better than last year, and they had, I think, 28 at their tournament this past weekend where they beat Southern Miss and Tulsa and San Fran. So they're shooting better from deep, but it's still 238th in the country in two-point percentage. So I mean, that's a pretty that's pretty significant right there. But if they can, I know we keep saying if they can start scoring, if they can get consistency, but I don't know if it's going to happen. At least they're shooting the three ball better, though.
It's not even like necessarily scoring the amount of points. I got to check also Malik Pope if he's playing, because he missed the past couple. But it's not necessarily the amount of points you score, because that's a deal. But if you take 200 shots and make 40, whatever, you get 80 points. Who cares?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's more efficiency. Like, yeah, if they're shooting, like, they don't need to score 85 points a game. They could stay at their 71 points per game, but let's just say their field goal percentage is 46%, 48%. That's a big deal. That's a lot more shots made, obviously. Pretty simple, but they don't need to run it, which they don't anyways. But if they could be just more efficient and make the shots presented to them, it's just, I don't know what the deal is. They've been such a good defensive team. They go to the tournament, Sweet 16 runs at least once. They're so good on defense. I don't see why they can't find a dude. Bring in a James Harden type who doesn't play defense. Let the other four make up for it, and he just scores off for 30 points a game.
You know, this will sound strange, but maybe their biggest problem with their offense is their defense, because I just look back at their defensive efficiencies. 2013, they're 14th. 2014, they're 7th. And then the last 2 years, they're 4th in the country in defense efficiency. And now this year, they're 38th. So this is their worst in at least 5 years. And so they're maybe not able to win those 60-55 type games anymore. So they need a little bit more of a boost.
Yeah. And then Malik Pope, he's been out the past couple of games. I'm checking for Sunday. He had a knee injury. But he's won those games out in Hawaii. They beat San Francisco and Tulsa, correct?
Yes, correct. Okay.
And then I'm trying to see, they don't have it here. Look at the Union Tribune. They don't have any information on that. So it's not till Sunday. So I'm wondering, with him missing the previous two games, but a week off essentially from 25th to the 1st, he might play. So if he doesn't play, I don't see Aztecs winning this game.
Well, I know it's still a home game for them, though. Yeah, but
I know he scores 9 points a game, but I would give – okay, I may not say they won't win, but I'd give a lot more credence to New Mexico getting the victory if he's out.
Especially if New Mexico can get to the line. I mean, that's always been a huge thing for them. If New Mexico – how about this? If New Mexico gets to the line maybe 10 more times than SDSU, which, I mean, 10 seems like a lot, but when you're shooting free throws as often as the Lobos do, really isn't that much. I think if they shoot 10 more free throws, they have a really, really good chance of winning this game.
And they shoot the free throws pretty well also, especially if I want to say Elijah Bryant. That's somebody else. Elijah Brown gets to the line and goes off what he does for he's so consistent. 14-14 last night. And then for the year, he is 79%. Like, looking at the amount of free throws they take, that's a good thing to look at. It's 280. What'd you say? They're the most in the nation or something, free throw attempts? Is that right?
So, not free throw attempts. It's free throw frequency, which is just free throw attempts divided by field goal attempts. So, just how often they get to the line.
Okay. That's a lot. But still, looking at just a little more basic, free throws made per attempt. Aztecs have made 166, attempted 230, whereas New Mexico has attempted 370, made 281.
Jeez,
they've
made
more
huge
than they attempted. So that could be a big – because that's, 140 different attempts, over 120 more makes almost than – oh, man. I think that's it right there. If they can win the free throw battle and then obviously make them, because they also have a small edge, 76-72% edge at the line. But if you get three more, five more, 10 more, and you make seven of those while Aztecs make whatever they make, this would be a good game. I want to say it's a good game to watch, but I think it's going to be more of an ugly game because Aztecs defense is good enough just to mess with people.
Yeah, that's true. It's one of those games that if SDSU can dirty it up, then it should have a good chance of winning.
Because I think it might be 1st-70 probably wins this game, 65 maybe. Actually, maybe 65. Because New Mexico, they score quite a bit, but I think the defense will come into play more than not more than normal, but this will be more of an Aztec game because they're at home. But I'm thinking it could be like 65-60.
Yeah, that's fair. The free throw line will be huge. And not only does New Mexico get to the line as much as anyone in the country, they also don't really allow that many free throws. They're 151st in free throw attempt divided by field goal attempt. So they usually have a very big edge in the free throw line. And I believe New Mexico is much better at the line than San Diego State. I could be wrong there.
Percentage?
Percentage-wise, they're fairly close.
Yeah, 4% difference, yeah.
Okay.
Which, if you make 10, once you get to 10 or 20, that's a couple points.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So who are you taking in this big game on New Year's Day?
I'm going to go with San Diego State. New Mexico is just hard to pick because you don't know who's going to show up, if they're going to shoot the ball well. But like I said, if the free throw line is going to be huge for them.
I think because Aztecs are home, like I said, road victories are hard to come by. I think it'll be very close, but I got to go with Aztecs just because it seems like they'll get Pope back. I see it may have been more of precautionary because you get a week off. You basically 2 weeks off from the games out in Hawaii. You're home for Christmas. You travel back. You're not playing the first set of games on Wednesday or of this week at Mountain Wolf play. I got to go Aztecs, but it's cop out, but I think obviously this is not a guarantee. Lobos have a very good chance to get a win, but I think Aztecs will win. It's also on CBS Sports Network, so basically the home to watch any Aztec athletic event is on CBS Sports Network, it seems like. So Aztecs will start off league play 1-0. Plus, also to note, New Mexico in three true road games, 0-3.
Yeesh, yeah. And the other thing that's interesting about San Diego State, if they don't come out with a win on Sunday, the road ahead's pretty tough. They have two road games next week against Nevada on Wednesday and Boise State on Saturday. So they start off with arguably three of the best teams in the conference that isn't SDSU.
So basically you're saying if they go 0-3, they're out of the contention for at-large bid no matter what.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I don't really know how much of a chance. Yeah, if they lose one more game, maybe they are. But
there's stuff that happens, but if you're hot at the end. But yeah, if they go off even 1-2, they need to go 2-1 in this stretch to have any chance, I think, to say they're a team that could be contender in this league.
Mm-hmm. I think they will. I mean, three losses to mediocre teams isn't going to do your season in December. And we saw what they did last year when they won 11 straight and 16 of 18 conference games. So you can't ever count out SDSU.
True, but they're also road games. So I'm like, ooh, that's a tough one. So that's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Well, and those are also late tip-offs. So we got the 8 o'clock Pacific tip-off times. The good old ESPN, ESPNU, all those funny channels are on. So yeah, it's funny. I pulled up the Aztec schedule really quick. Their next, after this game on Sunday, their next four games are on ESPN3 or higher. And then their last 10 games are on CBS Sports Network, like 12 of the last 14. Nearly every game is on. A couple are undecided, like the Air Force and UNLV game are undecided, which will UNLV game probably be picked up hopefully. But yeah, that's their home for Aztec Sports. Hope you have that CBS Network in your area.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Yeah.
Any other tidbits we'd add about what you've seen so far? Because we haven't talked in a while.
I think that New Mexico fans need to settle down a little bit. I don't know if you saw the stuff that Jeff Grammer posted last night of fans yelling at Rodney Terry, the Fresno State coach, and having some slurs to him. So that was really strange.
I saw something on Twitter just now. Maybe it's an old one, but I didn't see it. So, okay, that's come on, folks. I know, you can be creative, have fun, but no reason to go to that level.
Yeah, there's a difference between being passionate and crossing the line. And last night, it sounds like they crossed the line because they had to stop the game for at least 5 minutes to find the fan that was... Yeah, it's wild, but that's that. That's sports, I guess.
Yeah, yelling Dunkin' Donuts or calling someone a racial slur, there's a big line. That line's about a mile wide of what's good and not good to say.
Yeah, exactly.
Come on, people. Just keep it cool. I don't know. Anything else to add? I think we're good. We've gone a good 30 minutes here, Hoops. It's hard to watch every game and do it the next day, so we're not going to do a six-game recap when they're all at the same time. So if you want any questions, we will answer any questions because you write some different stuff for us. You'll do some random bracket stuff. You'll do just the big picture stuff. So any questions, tell people your Twitter handle so you can yell your direction about stuff.
Yeah, of course. So Twitter handle is BetkerEli. That's BOETTGER _ELI. And one thing about the brackets, Lenardi posted one this morning, and for the first time in I don't know how long, a team other than San Diego State's in the bracket. So they have Nevada in as a 12 seed playing Oregon and Salt Lake City. So that's interesting Nevada.
Didn't he? I thought yesterday on – maybe it was Tuesday – he put out like his 68 seed line. Does he do that every day, like the 68 nitty gritty or whatever?
Because I don't know if that's Lenardi.
No, it wasn't. He put out like it's about a dozen tweets on eight whatever many tweets it is, and he's like all caps is a conference leader or automatic, and then he goes through that last four, and he had Nevada as the first four out.
Okay, yeah. So I think it was last week he had. I wrote a quick article on it. He had San Diego State in, I believe it was a 13, and Nevada as his maybe next four out. And then he published one this morning with Nevada in as the 12 seed, and San Diego State isn't even on the page. So that's not interesting.
Not even next four out?
No, they're not on there.
Sorry, folks. So I guess what Aztecs want is Grand Canyon to win the WAC. They want all these teams. But here's the thing, like the WAC, like I'm around the UVU basketball program because I produce all their basketball games. They've been terrible of late, which they beat BYU in there. I think they're 6-6. But once you get into league play in that conference, I don't care how good you are, your RPI is going to stink as well, just because you're playing teams like UT Arlington. You're playing – I know Cal State Bakersfield is okay, but you're playing teams that are 150 at best. And so
– yeah, it really – it's like it snowballs. It just gets worse and worse and worse. But best case scenario for Mountain West is Nevada wins regular season. Any other team besides Nevada, maybe San Diego State, maybe New Mexico, wins the conference tournament.
All right. We'll see how that goes. We'll be back, assuming mostly every Thursday going forward, talking about the games. We'll probably do big picture stuff. But any questions, send them to Eli. Or just go to Mountain West Connection on Facebook. You can do Facebook, but Mountain West Connection on Twitter. Send us a reply. We'll get it to him. Or you can email mountainwestfootball@gmail.com. Yeah, that's football in there because that's what I started doing, but it is football. But, yeah, send that stuff our way. We'll do some crazy stuff just because basketball is exciting and it's not March yet, but We're getting there. So that's our show for tonight. Check us out, MWCConnection.com, SoundCloud, Stitcher, iTunes, Blog Talk Radio. And also one quick note, if you listen to our podcast on our feed, we're adding press conferences for football and basketball post-game stuff. We put Craig Neal there last night. We had the, I think another one as well, I forget, a couple from last night's game. So check out for that so you can listen to coaches speak and do all that fun stuff. But that's our show.